There's a little pithy saying from the Zen tradition that says that when you sit, just sit. When you walk, just walk. And above all, don't wobble. And I think of not wobbling as being the sort of secret teaching of this path. It's interesting, isn't it? I really encourage people to look if they have at different relationships between sitting and walking practice. There are differences, obviously. You know, the sitting practice is far more contained, in a way, far more protected, in a sense. Our sense doors are not so interactive with the world. So, you know, there's less information coming in, and in some ways, I think that does really help to sustain attention and to sustain mindfulness. But I think what the other thing that is helped in the sitting practice, or what's kind of protected, I think is there's a protection to some degree around the world of impulse, isn't there? I mean, most of us, when we sit, you know, we have lots of good ideas and lots of thoughts, obviously, but you know, we might have a thought of, oh, you know, there's a nice sandwich in Marks and Spencer's, but most of us don't get up from the middle of the sitting and go out and buy the sandwich and think that's cool, you know, and then we'll come back and just pick up where we left off, you know. Most of us would actually kind of see that thought arise, and we'd sort of see it pass too, you know. We kind of like stay with it, wouldn't we? We'd stay with the sitting. The walking practice seems far more vulnerable to that whole impulse momentum. And how impulse, you know, quite quickly it turns to kind of almost like a driving compulsion. You know, we might have that same thought in the walking practice, and we're off, you know, we're on our way for that sandwich, you know, it's within reach, and it's that less protection, which is actually kind of a mirror for our life, isn't it? I mean, this is how, because this is the kind of climate, this is the medium that we spend much of our lives in, where there's that apparently less protection against the world of impulse. So I think what has been often suggested in this teaching, you know, our biggest protection against the world of impulse, of course, is mindfulness. We have to know it's arising. If we know it's arising, we have a few choices about how we might respond. You know, if we don't even know it's arising, there aren't any choices, are there? So it's to know that arising, but I think that this sense of kind of mindfulness, of that quality of awareness of our inner landscape, is actually considered to be the biggest protection against impulse. I often think of the walking meditation as a real metaphor for our lives, because you know we have a path in the walking practice, don't we? Or we try to have a path. We're encouraged to have a path. It's not like wandering around. So we have a path, and you see when you walk up and down that path how much you're walking actually through so much. You know, like you walk through the world of good ideas, you know, and you stay on your path. You know, you walk through the different mind states that arise, you know, the boredom, the lack of interest, you know, rehearsals, and you kind of walk through them, don't you? You just kind of keep walking through them. You see the different thoughts that arise, you know, rather than being here, then everywhere, you just learn to stay with the path. And in some ways, that path, I think, is a kind of metaphor for sustaining intentionality. And for me, I think of it as a kind of biggest life training about, you know, it's not staying with the path in a rigid way, but it's that capacity of moving into this sort of sustained intention and the sustained attention, which is, I think, pretty challenging in life. I mean, we often have intentions, but they somehow don't seem to withstand all the time the world of moods and impulses and compulsions. So It is a real training in this. You know, I sometimes would really love to have retreats where we only do walking meditation, just to you know, I'd like to have Buddhas that you could wind up and walk back and forth, you know, in the front of the room, you know. Just to kind of like, you know, uproot this idea, you know, that somehow the walking is somehow secondary, because it for me, it's a kind of life practice. It's a life practice. So here we have another opportunity for that. In the walking practice, I think it's really useful to be really mindful of the sense doors. You know, because the way, you know, I talked about sense doors earlier, I mean, our sense doors can be vehicles for such receptivity and sensitivity and appreciation and connectedness. And there's also ways that our sense doors really become the kind of servants of our mind states. You know, like if we're agitated, how much our eyes and our ears almost become the servant of that mind state. Have you ever noticed that? You know, I often teach, I teach quite a bit in sort of university settings. And you know, like universities love to plaster the walls with information, don't they? I mean, actually, the walls here. There's a lot of things you could read here. And I remember once someone coming in for walking meditation, they told me they'd read every sign that was up, you know. They knew all about this apartment, everything about it. They had no interest in renting. Nothing to do with them, you know. They'd read all the details of this course and that course. They had no intention of ever studying, you know. But it was like just that hunger, just that hunger for something to kind of enliven or fill me up somehow, you know, entertain me, gratify me. So it's really, I think there's something really precious about noticing that difference when our sense doors are really being vehicles for the remarkable capacity for sensitivity and appreciation to be touched by what comes to us. And then when it kind of shifts into that moment, you know, when the sense doors are really becoming the servants of a mind state, you know, we're actually, you know, we're on the prowl. We're on the prowl here, you know, and anything will do if you notice. I mean, it becomes kind of an absurdity, doesn't it? I mean, when we find ourselves reading tea boxes and fire extinguisher instructions, you know, and you kind of stop and you say, oh, wait a minute, you know. I mean, is this really contributing any great sense of meaning to my life or not, you know? So really just noticing that, and that can shift a lot in a walking period, kind of. You can really feel that moment where you're just walking, you feel the touch of the air, and the sights that come to you, and then really how a growing sense of appreciation, and how it can shift in a moment into this kind of busyness, you know, sense door busyness. All of this, I think, is really offered within the walking practice and having that path. So we have some time now. So if we come back around 5 to 3, that would be great, for talk this afternoon.